to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter number 8, please. We'll be looking at verses 4 and 5, and then skipping down to verse number 35 for the basis for our message this morning. In Acts chapter 8, verses 4 and 5, we read these words. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Let us pray. Father in heaven, how we need your help today as we attempt to bring this very simple message. Lord, I pray that your people would feel the burden of carrying your word, the responsibility to be good Christians and good witnesses for Jesus Christ. Help us to do our part in winning souls to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. They that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. God, it seemed, intended that his church should be scattered over all the world. In the early days of humanity, there was the tendency for everyone to remain together. You remember the building of the Tower of Babel? That was a tower that was supposed to be a centerpiece around which the race could rally. But that was not God's plan, and so God confounded their language and scattered them from Babel that they might people all the world, according to Genesis chapter 11. Jerusalem was at first the central point of Christianity. The church there was highly favored with the 12 apostles and thousands of others who had been saved after the resurrection of our Lord. The tendency would have been to keep the center strong, but God's plan was that that holy force should be distributed in other areas. The holy seed must be sown in other areas. And to do this, the Lord made use of the rough hand of persecution. The disciples would not be able to stay in Jerusalem. A man by the name of Saul would make them run for their lives, or if they did not, he persecuted them unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. Acts 22, verse 4. So the disciples ran for their lives, one going one way and another going another way, and the faithful were scattered. The Lord had need of his servants in places where there was no light. Even today, every Christian should say, where can I do the most good? Where is there an open door of service or of witness? Is there a place where I can let my light shine and do something for Jesus Christ? The persecution at Jerusalem resulted in God's people being scattered over the whole known world, and everywhere they went, they were proclaiming the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those scattered preached the word. That's what my text says. That is, all the scattered. There does not appear to have been any exception. Now, you thought it would have read, then the apostles went everywhere preaching the word. But they were just the people who did not go at all. The 12 remained at headquarters in Jerusalem as yet. But the rest went everywhere preaching the word. Generals may have to stand still in the center of the battle to direct the forces, but In this battle, all the common soldiers marched to the fight. This was to be a soldier's battle. And of that sort, all the battles of the cross ought to be. You will notice that in this, there were no professional distinctions. It is not said that the ministers, being scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. But the whole of those who were scattered were preaching the word. I believe it is the will of God that all of His children minister in some form or other. Did you know there's a work that you can do? We just sung the song, I'll go where you want. Well, maybe they just played it. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll do what you want me to do. Did you know that God has a work for every person in this room this morning? Amen. Every one of us. Though God likes to give His church special gifts like apostles and teachers and pastors and evangelists and the like, He does not intend for those to do all the work for God while others sit still. I want to tell you a little story and then I want to make an application. In olden times, a certain people had conquered all others around them with whom they came into contact. It came to pass that they thought themselves so exceedingly strong that they said, let not everybody go to war. Let's just choose a few and make this few a standing army. They picked out their champions and sent them off to the war. These continued the conflict, but with difficulty. Many of them fail in the fight. And during that time, no provinces were added to the kingdom, and things were at a standstill. They had followed a fatal policy. The true method was for the whole of them to march to battle. And this is the true and only policy of Christianity. All Christian soldiers of the cross and all on active duty. Are you a soldier today? Are you actively serving the Lord today, doing what you can? Just one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Every converted man is to teach what he knows. All of those who have drunk of the living water are to become fountains out of which shall flow rivers of living water. We shall never see the success that God wants us to have until we get back to the old method of all at it. Every one of us involved in the Lord's work. In proportion as we come to the house of God, nobody dreaming of just being a spectator, but each one serving God for himself. Each one doing what he can. In that proportion, under the blessing of God, we shall come back to the great successes of olden times when scores of people were saved and the land experienced great revival. Observe that Philip is mentioned as going down to Samaria to preach. And the people listened, and they gave heed to all he said. Both men and women were baptized as believers in Jesus Christ. But notice something about Philip. Philip was originally set apart to attend to the distribution of food and the taking care of the widows in Jerusalem. It is good for every man to attend to his own special office, but where that office ceases to be needful, let him get to that work that is always needful. Apparently the time came when there was no need for the deacon to be involved in the daily distribution of food, for the poor people were all scattered or hiding in fear for their lives. So what does this deacon do? As the work to which he was appointed has come to an end, he keeps to the work for which every Christian is appointed, and that is proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. No one of us, then, can be exempted from the work of spreading the gospel because we are engaged in some other work. Good as it is, though it may be very intimately connected with the kingdom of Christ, yet it does not exonerate us from the work of endeavoring to bring sinners to Christ in some way or other. You remember Stephen. Stephen was also a deacon. And he began first to bear testimony and was slain for his testimony, stoned to death. But when he died, Philip, the next on the roll, stepped into his place. You see, one soldier falls and another steps forward. All are to proclaim the word, and no one is exempted by another form of service. Oh, that the Lord's people everywhere could understand what I'm saying this morning. We're all involved, and we're all responsible to the Lord to be a witness for Him and to do our best in winning precious lost souls to Jesus Christ. There were no educational exceptions. You know, it's thought nowadays that a man must not try to proclaim the gospel unless he has a good education. Some churches will not even consider a man unless he has a doctorate degree. He's been off to college and seminary and years of training. To try and preach Christ and yet to make some grammatical blunder is looked upon as a grave offense. The opportunity to preach the gospel in some churches will never be given to a man who has not graduated from a particular college. There's another thing that we need to think about, and that is to realize that there's nothing whatsoever in the whole compass of Scripture to excuse anyone from speaking for Jesus when the heart is really acquainted with His salvation. Amen. If you're saved, God wants you to speak up for Him. Amen. If you're saved, God wants you to be a light and a testimony for Jesus Christ. We are all A-L-L. We are all called to make Jesus known if we know Him. Whoever you are, whatever gifts you may possess, consecrate them to God and be willing to tell others about Jesus and what He has done for you. That was Paul's method, and it should be ours also. If you've not been saved, then obviously you don't have anything to say. You've got no testimony to give. But if you have been saved, if you're not what you used to be, if Christ has made a difference in your life, then you've got a testimony that you need to share with someone. And share it often. Share it constantly, as Paul did. Be in earnest and faithfully describe what God has done for you. And not only that, but we need to be aware, and you were aware before you were saved, of man's ruin by sin and God's remedy of grace. And we all need to be warning sinners to escape from the wrath to come by believing in Jesus and surrendering their lives to Him. John the Baptist said, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. And he that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. He said to the scribes and Pharisees who came out to see Him and to hear Him, "Oh, you generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" You may say, "But Pastor, I'm not gifted and I'm not talented. I'm really an introvert. I'm timid. I'd like to just sit in the shadows and let someone else go and let someone else do." You may not be gifted and talented, my friend, but that does not disqualify you from being a witness for Jesus. It has pleased God, the Bible says, to use the base things of this world and things that are despised for the accomplishment of His great purposes of love. Let us trust in the divine power of the Holy Spirit and speak the truth in reliance upon His might, whether we can speak fluently like Apollos, whether we're slow of speech like Moses, God can use us all. And He will, if we will surrender. You may be lacking in formal education, but do not let that keep you from sharing your testimony about Jesus. We're called to rescue the perishing. And we can rescue the perishing whether we're gifted and talented or not. What if you're not a good theologian? If you understand the plan of salvation, you are sufficiently instructed and educated to be a good witness for your Lord. You say, "Well, Pastor, I don't really know the plan of salvation that well." Our track racks outside are full of little tracts and brochures that will tell you the plan of salvation. You ought to get those, memorize them, do a chain in your Bible, chaining verses together, one to the next verse and so on, until you're able to sit down with someone and explain to them how they can be saved and know it. That's demanding very little of us. A child can do that. A child can be a witness. Teenagers can be witnesses. Adults can be witnesses. You don't have to study astronomy to be able to plant a garden or sow a seed. Amen? Jesus said, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." He didn't say you had to have a college education to sow. He didn't say you had to be a scientist to sow. He didn't say you had to understand all the deep mysteries of the Word to sow. A sower went forth to sow the seed. And Jesus said that seed, some of it, fell on good ground and brought forth 100-fold. And some brought forth 60, and some brought forth 30. But just a sower sowing the seed. That's what God needs. Jesus did not say you had to have a college degree or a doctorate to be able to sow some seed. And just as there were no exceptions on account of a lack of education, neither were there exclusions on account of gender. Men and women were to spread abroad the knowledge of Jesus. We read that, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, enter into every house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad, both men and women, went everywhere preaching the word, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are many ways in which women can fittingly proclaim the word of God, and in some cases, they can proclaim it even more efficiently than men. There are minds and hearts that will be attracted and open to the tender, earnest, winning manner in which some sister in Christ expresses herself. That Christian mother, what a minister she is to her own family. That Christian young lady in single life, in the family circle, in church life, what may she not accomplish if her heart is warm and pure with love to the Savior? We cannot say to the women, "Oh, just go home. There's nothing for you to do in the service of the Lord." Oh, far from it. Much is said in Scripture about Mary and Martha and Lydia and Dorcas and many other Christian ladies who were vital to the ministry of Jesus Christ in that New Testament church. Even the woman at the well, an immoral woman, after she had made contact with Jesus. You read about it in John 4. She left her water pot there at the well. And she was so excited that she had met the Messiah, that she left that water pot, went her way into the city and said to the men, "Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Is not this the Messiah?" And they went. The Bible says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on Him for the saying of the woman. Ladies, don't tell me you cannot be a witness for Jesus Christ. Men and women, young men, young ladies, boys and girls who love Jesus, yes, they can speak well of Him and make His salvation known all day long. Yes, our Lord gave to all His people the holy work of making Jesus known to mankind. And they did it so well that within 100 years after the death of our Lord, His name had been made known throughout all the known world. What about today? What's happening today, preacher? I shared with you last week, I believe, or week before, about even here in this area, a little girl had some free time at school. The teacher told them to plan on bringing a book or something to keep themselves occupied on that free time. She happened to carry a Bible to read. And the teacher in that public school got so upset, she called the parents and told them to come and get their child. The Bible was not allowed in their classroom. My soul, what are we coming to here in America? What are we coming to? Did you know, I read just this past week, there was a Barna Group study done, and they have found that America in 2015 is less Christian than it was 2 years ago. Other nations are now sending missionaries to America. Can you believe that? It's the absolute truth. Did you know that some time ago, Vladimir Putin, a communist, the leader of Russia, you know what he said about America? He said, "It is sad that America has left its Christian and moral values as a nation." Putin said that. Iran calls us the great Satan. Do they have a reason for that? Oh, don't get up all in arms about that. You look at our political scene right now. You look at the moral values in our typical society. You look at the sin that our nation and our government is rewarding. And tell me that we are a God-honoring nation. We're not. We are not. 44%, almost half the people in America in 2015 say that they do not believe in God. Almost half the people in America identify as atheists or agnostics. They disagree that faith is important in their lives. They've not prayed to God in the last year. They've not prayed to God in the last week. They've never made a commitment to Jesus. They're arguing over the accuracy of the Bible. Almost half the people in America have not donated any money to a church or to a mission program this year. Not attended church in the past year. Almost half the people in America now believe that Jesus was a sinner. My friend, if He was a sinner, then there's no salvation in His blood. Almost half the people in America do not feel a responsibility to share their faith. They've not read their Bible in the last week. Not attended Sunday school. They've not volunteered at church. My friends, do you understand why missionaries are coming to America? Sure, it may be hard in America today to witness for Christ. A few years ago, you could go down the street and every door almost would be open to a witness and a visit from the pastor. It's unbelievable now how many people have no time to speak about the Lord. They don't even want you on their front porch. They don't want you ringing their doorbell. Did you know that it's easier and more acceptable in some areas to be a Muslim than to be a Christian here in America? You can be a Muslim and be honored in school. You can take your Quran to school and it's all right. Just don't take a Bible. Christians are being persecuted today in America. But what do we do? Do we just fade into the night? The Scripture doesn't read that way. It does not say, therefore, they that were scattered abroad slunk away and held their tongues and stopped talking about Jesus. No, that thought never entered their minds. They did not consider themselves called to please the powers that be. They did not consider themselves called to compromise with Antichrist government. They did not adapt their teaching to that period. They did not change the gospel and make it more tolerant to those who were living in sin. They did not leave men and women to perish for lack of knowledge. You see, that group that was persecuted for Christ, they believed something. You know, one thing they believed was they did not want the blood of those around them on their hands. Let me ask you a question. Do we want the blood of those around us on our hands? Do we want to hear the wail of lost souls in our ears for as long as we exist for not making known to them the gospel? God's way of saving the lost is through His church. And if the church neglects its work, who's going to do it? If we do not tell the gospel, are we not leaving our families and our fellow men to perish? Yonder's a wreck. The ship is sinking. Will we not send the lifeboat? Brother Shields, on the way to church this morning, was the first at the scene of a collision. He tried to help the passenger, blood all over the car, he said. Called the emergency personnel and they got there to help. There's a wreck on the highway. Are we going to make any effort to help? Souls are starving. Will we give them no bread? If you are taking no share in this great work of spreading the gospel, you are willfully allowing men and women to go down to hell. That's strong language. But that's the language the Bible uses. And the Bible says their blood will be required at our hands. These first believers dare not incur such guilt. And therefore, away they went, proclaiming the word. All the disciples, except for the Apostle John, ended up martyrs. They all died. But they died proclaiming the word. What about us? What about our children? What about our families? What about our friends? What about the people that we work with? What about the people that frequent our business? Are we going to let them continue on in their lost condition and headed straight for hell? Or are we going to do our best to rescue the perishing? Jesus has called upon every one of us to do our part. You may be persecuted. You may be mocked. You may be criticized. You may become, as Paul said he was, the offscouring of all things. That's really not a pretty sight, is it? We wouldn't like for people to talk about us like that, would we? But Paul said, I'm willing to be the offscouring of all things if I can just win somebody to Jesus. What about you today? Now, this has been a message primarily to Christians. But today, if you're lost, do you realize what that means? Do you realize the end of the journey, what it's going to be? Because one day, every one of us shall stand before God and give an account for everything that we've done, whether good or bad, with every secret thing. Oh, there are some here this morning, no doubt. You've got loved ones who've wept over you and prayed for you and witnessed to you. And they have done everything they have known to do to win you to Jesus. But you still aren't saved. Do you understand what that means? You could be saved today. The Lord said, if we'll be willing to confess Him before men, receive Him as our Lord and Savior, that He had pardoned us of our sins, He had forgiven us, and He would confess us before His Heavenly Father. I'm just going to ask you today one more time this side of eternity, would you come today and receive Christ as your Savior? Would you open your heart to Him and ask Him to forgive you and to pardon your sin and to give you eternal life? One more time, I want to ask you to come to Jesus and be saved. If you're not saved, and you know it if you're not, you know it if you still are what you used to be, you know it if there's never been a radical change made in your heart by Jesus, you know it if you've never been born again, I'm going to ask you to come right now. Give your heart to Jesus and let Him save you. Let Him make a new creature of you. Let Him give to you eternal life. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That offer is made to every one of us here today. Those of us who may be lost, would you come and receive Christ? Father in heaven, Holy Spirit of God, speak to hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand? We're singing Just As I Am. Without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. Once again, we preach the gospel, and we invite you to come. Would you come? Just as